Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. In today's reading, in Corinthians, Paul reminds us that among those faithful brethren and sisters who came out of Egypt and who were baptized and drank of that spiritual rock, which was Christ, many were overthrown in the wilderness. And therefore, as a result of the corrupting influence of Gentiles' ways, is recorded for our admonition. In other words, to warn us. It is worth noting that in the Authorized Version in verse 5, it is written, but with many of them God was not well pleased. However, in the Revised Version, the translation is, howbeit with most of them God was not well pleased. A great multitude came out of Egypt, and most of them failed to please God. Many are called, brethren and sisters, but few are chosen. And we need to take note of this so that we do not become complacent. We must examine ourselves constantly and honestly, measuring ourselves against all the standards set out for us in the Scriptures. Let us never imagine that we are not in danger. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall, Paul tells us in verse 12 of our reading. Paul urges us to take the examples in Scripture as warnings. And of course, the Word of God is full of such examples. Noah and his family kept themselves separate and were saved. Abraham left Ur and dwelt in a strange land, separate from the people around him, and he was called the friend of God. Just Lot and his family, however, chose to go back into the world and live among the corrupt inhabitants of Sodom, for which they paid a price. Remember Lot's wife, we are told. Then there were Jacob and Esau. One kept the faith and was blessed, and the other went the way of the world, taking wives from the unbelieving nations around him. Samson was another who, despite his great strength, was made weak by the world and was humbled and blinded so that he might see. Let us not be blinded by the world and its attractions, brethren and sisters, but let us be strong in faith and fix our eyes on the light. For the world is full of Balaams and Jezebels, and whereas we might not be taken in by the more obvious types, we might easily be led astray by those who may be entirely unaware of the role they are playing. The Apostle Peter, in all innocence and with the best of intentions, became a Satan. People in the world can be Satans too, influencing us with their values and their philosophies, which are not in accordance with the truth in God's word. We must not be a friend of the world, For then we become an enemy of God, James tells us. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burnt? We read in Proverbs. Even that wise King Solomon experienced the full force of these words when finally in his old age he was corrupted by the Gentile world, marrying their women when he should have kept himself separate. As we read in Kings. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the law, as did David his father. It's a sobering thought. Here was a man blessed with extraordinary wisdom and entrusted with the building of God's house, and yet, because he could not keep himself separate from the world, in the end, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel. If Solomon, with all his wisdom, could succumb to the influence of the Gentile world and its idolatrous ways, then so can we, unless we take steps to guard ourselves against these influences which corrupt and defile us. Under the law of Moses, a person touching a dead animal or a dead person became defiled by that corpse and had to be cleansed by being sprinkled with water of separation and then by washing himself and his clothes. And lepers and people afflicted with running issues were unclean and had to be separated from the rest. They and those who came in contact with them had to be cleansed with water. And so too must we who are in contact with the diseased and the dead in our daily lives be constantly cleansing ourselves with the water of the Word and separating ourselves in our thinking and in our attitudes and in our behavior, so that our defilement will not lead to permanent separation from God. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, said, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Touch not the unclean thing, my brothers and sisters. Because so many of us have to make our living in the service of Gentile employers, we inevitably find ourselves working side by side with unbelievers. something which presents us with opportunities, but also with dangers. We have the opportunity of preaching the truth to those at our place of work. But at the same time, we are placed under great pressure to conform to the values of fellow employees, not to mention those of our employers. And it is in this situation that we have to be particularly on guard, because so often we are the odd men out, and we have to stand firm against considerable pressure to conform to the ways of the world. It is so necessary, at the end of a day rubbing shoulders with people in the world steeped in their alien culture, to be sprinkled with water of separation, just as the children of Israel had to do after touching a corpse. Unfortunately, all too often we come home tired and not feeling like concentrating on much. And so on goes the TV, and instead of cleansing ourselves, we defile ourselves even more. In the last days, the apostle warns us in his letter to Timothy, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of that, of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Brethren and sisters, truly we do live in perilous times. Not only do we have this threat from an alien Gentile culture, but the growing selfishness, the materialism, the pride, the arrogance, the disobedience of people without natural affection, who are fierce, have no self-control, who have no love for what is good, is no doubt contributing to that growing lawlessness which we see around us in our society. People use force to get what they want nowadays. They smash and destroy. They expect to be given more and more without having any obligations to pay for what they get. There's great anger among people, that great anger from generations of having been treated as inferior. And we can understand that root, the root of that anger. For we are, after all, reaping what has been sown for generations. But at the same time, we have to make sure that we don't also get infected by that anger. When we see people doing as they please without regard for others, we must restrain ourselves. We must not become fearful or in despair when we see crime increasing, and we see mismanagement and corruption and dishonesty on the increase, when we see problems without there being any discernible solutions. We must not allow anger or anxiety to consume us, to weaken our faith. We must not allow hatred or scorn to enter our hearts in reaction to what we see going on around us. We must not be like those sons of thunder who wanted to command fire to come down from heaven and consume the rebellious. Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, our Lord rebuked them. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Where there is anger and hatred, let us endeavor to bring love. The Apostle Peter said, For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. In his epistle, Peter reminds us how Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. It is this capacity to suffer without retaliating and without allowing animosity to fill our hearts that is so difficult. Loving one's neighbor, no matter what kind of person he is, and being peacemakers filled with patience and tolerance is difficult enough. But it becomes even more so in this increasingly hostile environment. The world is pressing in on us, eroding our values, and perhaps even making us feel that we want to exact retribution. But vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Live peaceably with all men. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. And these are the principles that we must take to heart. And they are principles that require courage to put into practice. And here we need to strengthen our faith through prayer and through the Word. And the Word does give us comfort. When Elisha was confronted by the Syrian soldiers, his servant was dismayed. Alas, he said, how shall we do? And Elisha answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And please turn to Psalm 34, chapter 4. Psalm 34 at verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. That the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Of course, it doesn't mean that we will not be called upon to suffer. We do not lead charmed lives. But it does mean that whatever we may have to endure, the Lord is with us, and he will comfort and strengthen us and help us through all our trials. And we derive enormous comfort from verses such as, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man," or moderate, as the margin suggests, "but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." The Emphasized Bible puts it this way: "Trial hath not taken you, save such as man can bear. Faithful, moreover, is God, who will not suffer you to be tried above what ye are able, but will make with the trial also the way of escape, that ye may be able to hold out." When we are surrounded by troubles, it is easy to feel forsaken. It's easy to feel that we have been left to cope on our own. The disciples must have felt that way on the lake when the storm arose and they feared they would drown. "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" is a cry that perhaps escapes our lips when the sky is dark and the wind and waves rage. "Peace, be still," the Master says. "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" Again he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Our Lord told his disciples during the supper we commemorate this morning. We can't imagine the intensity of that struggle. The night before he died. But his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And in his agony, there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. His Father did not leave him comfortless when his disciples were unable to keep awake and watch 1 hour. And that same night, despite his own trial, he was full of concern for his disciples and anxious that they should not feel abandoned. "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you," he told them. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So no matter what tests and what difficulties we might encounter, We have this wonderful assurance that our Lord is always with them, always there to support us. He's always with us to encourage us. We have this wonderful assurance that He will be with us through the storms, and that He will comfort and strengthen us even unto the end of the age. Thank you.